But first, many in the community are still reeling from the president's visit to the Valley Tuesday and the mostly peaceful protests outside that ended with tear gas and flashbangs being deployed on the crowd.
Phoenix police say a small number of protesters began throwing rocks and tear gas at the officers, instigating a forceful effort to dispel the crowd before things escalated. Many protesters, though, argue the police response to the actions of a few seemed sudden. The ACLU of Arizona is calling for an independent investigation, saying the police failed to protect the First Amendment rights of the protesters.
ASU criminology professor Ed McGuire was there at the protests, observing with a team of researchers. He studies police tactics at protests and says for the most part, the protests were peaceful, but toward the end, things got heated. I spoke with him more about what he saw.
Well, one of the things that I noticed is about a half hour after darkness had set in, I started seeing mostly young men, a couple of women putting on masks, bandanas. And that's usually a sign that things are about to take a turn. I also saw two people among the protesters putting on gas masks. And we could hear some of the Antifa folks starting to talk about it's time. And it was clear that they were growing impatient with sort of the peaceful protest tactics of most of the crowd.
This sounds like something you've seen before. Is this typical?
Yeah, it's typical. I mean, we saw similar sort of dynamics with the Occupy protests. You had sort of people, radical protesters among the occupiers at the time. From my vantage point, I didn't see anybody throw anything. I didn't see anybody behave violently. I did have some research assistants, saw some bottles being thrown. My first encounter with violence was me being shot with a pepper ball.
We spoke with the sheriff, and Phoenix police have said, you know, we were responding to people attacking us. What I wonder is, when law enforcement is in this position, what can they do when it is a small set of a crowd attacking the police? Does everybody have to be sprayed with tear gas? What are their options?
Everybody does not need to be sprayed with tear gas. So I wrote a guidebook for the Justice Department on the policing of protests and an attempt to sort of outline current best practices on that. We go into a lot of detail on this. And so, you know, one of the things is to use what we call a differentiated strategy. And so to keep in mind that a crowd consists of very different types of people. And typically at protests like this, and we saw this last night, you had a mostly peaceful crowd. And by mostly, I mean 99%+ of the people are behaving in a peaceful, lawful manner, exercising their First Amendment rights. And you have a small number of people who are very clearly intent on causing trouble and creating some chaos. And that absolutely needs to be dealt with, but it needs to be dealt with by enforcing the laws against those people, not against the entire crowd.
So they can isolate the people who are causing trouble in that situation?
Yeah. So we advocate for the use of targeted arrest teams that focus in on the people who are engaging in violence or property damage. You go in, you make the arrest, you extract them, and meanwhile, continuing to allow people who are engaged in peaceful First Amendment expression to do so.
So I spoke with the sheriff yesterday morning, and he says essentially that they were put in a really impossible position here, that there was inevitably going to be violence. What I wonder is there any way law enforcement can prevent this kind of outcome? They can prevent violence from occurring after a mostly peaceful protest?
I don't know that they can prevent all violence from occurring. I think you have certain people in the crowd who are dead set on behaving in a violent or a very destructive manner. Absolutely, it's the case that police need to take enforcement action against those individuals. The real line in the sand here is whether it's appropriate to take enforcement action against an entire crowd of thousands of people, the vast majority of whom are behaving lawfully. And I don't think that's warranted.
You mentioned the 1960s. I wonder, can you put this into context for us? Do you think that law enforcement's response to protests like these has evolved over the years? Has it changed?
In the 1960s, there were four separate presidential commissions that chastised the American police for the way they handled protests and riots and other kinds of mass crowd events. And that resulted in a lot of change to the 1970s and the 1980s with police using a lot of negotiated management kinds of techniques. And starting in 1999 with the protests in Seattle, the so-called battle in Seattle, you saw police departments start to go in the other direction. They were sort of outmaneuvered and outcommunicated in a way if you will, as you started to see sort of early forms of social media enabling protesters to organize and strategize. And so things have really sort of taken a turn toward becoming a little rougher since Seattle. But then at the same time, like I say, you have agencies who are doing an amazing job.
Do you think that crowds have changed in recent years in ways that are difficult for law enforcement?
Yeah, I mean, certainly with the advent of social media, we see a lot greater capacity for crowds to organize. One of the things that we hear from police who work these kinds of events is they believe they're facing crowds that are angrier, that are more violent, that are more willing to sort of take them on. With crowds starting to organize using social media, police need to track that kinds of stuff so that they're not outmaneuvered.
Why do you think the response by law enforcement is to go to tear gas at that point? Do you think that they feel threatened?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to emphasize that standing on the other end of these events, looking at massive crowds who are potentially angry at you, maybe they're throwing things at you. Of course, there's a tremendous amount of fear, I think, at the officer level. And that's something that we absolutely have to consider. Officer safety is paramount here.
So looking toward the future, as it seems like these kinds of protests might be ramping up, we might be seeing more of these as we are right now. Do you think that law enforcement's response, how do you think it can improve? What are the opportunities for law enforcement to learn from events like Charlottesville?
So the main principle is for police to approach First Amendment expression from a perspective of facilitating it as opposed to sort of opposing it, right? And so working closely with protest organizers, trying to plan these events in such a way as to minimize violence and to make it very clear that when violence does occur in a very targeted, very focused manner, the people engaged in that activity will be arrested, will be dealt with using the criminal law, but that will not affect what's happening with the majority of protesters who are behaving peacefully.
Dr. Ed McGuire is a professor at ASU School of Criminology and Criminal Justice. Ed, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We reached out to the Phoenix Police Department to respond to what McGuire had to say. They sent us a statement saying that they will conduct an after-action review to determine what worked and what might need improvement. Their initial impression, they said, is that officers acted exactly as expected, immediately responding to the criminal conduct that marred an otherwise peaceful event. Phoenix Mayor Greg Stanton said he and Police Chief Jerry Williams will speak with leaders of organizations that took part in the rally to hear their concerns.